Hey Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that guys is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reformed Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 78 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, whence ariseth the imperfection of sanctification in believers? The answer is, the imperfection of sanctification in believers ariseth from the remnants of sin abiding in every part of them, and the perpetual lustings of the flesh against the spirit, whereby they are often foiled with temptations and fall into many sins, are hindered in all their spiritual services, and the best works are imperfect and defiled in the sight of God. This is another continuing question to further clarify the statements made in question 75 about sanctification. And so here it's talking about, even though we affirmed in question 75 that sanctification is the renewal in the whole man after the image of God, that there still is this remnant of sin which needs to be mortified throughout the remainder of our life. And so this question is getting at the idea and is probably a response to a question of whether or not the imperfection of sanctification is somehow a defect in God, or whether it's something in the sinner that that is remaining. And that it unequivocally answers that the imperfection of sanctification is because sin is not entirely removed from us. And so it's not as though God somehow failed to fully sanctify us, like he really tried hard and just couldn't pull it off. But because of the nature of sanctification, because it is a work of God, because he has chosen to do this over time rather than to do it instantaneously, he certainly could have, that this imperfection of sanctification is because he has chosen to allow certain remnants of sin to remain in us. And so the remnants of sin the remnants of sin are not only remaining in us, but they're in every part of us. So even though sanctification is in the whole man, it is an incomplete sanctification in the whole man. And so just as every element of us is beginning to be sanctified in our new life, there's still this remaining corruption within us throughout the remainder of our life. And here it also includes the perpetual lustings of the flesh against the spirit. And it's important to note that this word spirit here in this question is lowercase. So the divines are not talking about the lusting of our flesh against the Holy Spirit, but they're talking about the lustings of our sinful nature against our spiritual nature. And so it's not saying that the body is the origin of temptation and that the spirit is free from temptation. That's a sort of semi-Gnostic perspective that some Christians take. But since we know that the remnants of sin abide in every part of us, we can't say that our spirit, which is a part of us, is free from the remnants of sin. Otherwise, we'd have to say that the divines who pored over this language were being inconsistent with themselves over the course of just a few sentences or a few words. But instead, what we see is that the lustings of our flesh, which the divines are using this in the same way that Paul does to represent the sinful, fallen, worldly part of us, the remaining part of us that has not yet been sanctified, against the spirit, which is that which it lives in according with the Holy Spirit. So our spirit, when we use this contrast between flesh and spirit, is not talking just about the immaterial part of us, but is talking about the part of us that's already been sanctified and seeks to serve God. And so the flesh perpetually or always and continually lusts against the spirit. So there's this abiding war within us between the part which God has already sanctified, has already made holy, has already given a desire to walk in new obedience, in repentance, and the part which God has not yet brought to sanctification. And so it says here that this imperfection, this lusting of the flesh against the spirit, is often foiled with temptation and falls into sin. And so the divines here are speaking against certain elements of Roman Catholicism, certain elements of the Arminianism of the day that says once a person has been regenerated, once they've been given this new life, that it is possible for them to walk in perfect holiness. They're saying here, no, that because of this imperfection, because of the remaining sin in us, that we often fall into temptation and sin. And so because of this, we are hindered in our service, and even the best works we have to offer are imperfect and defiled in the sight of God. And so sometimes the question comes up as to whether or not a Christian can, in a single moment or for a single day or for a defined period of time, can abstain from all sin. And there are Reformed believers who I think incorrectly would say yes, that it's possible for us in any moment to be sinless. But the logical conclusion of that is that if it's possible in any given moment, then it would be possible to chain all of those any given moments together for a life of sinless perfection. And the reality is, since there's a remnant of sin that abides within us, that because of that, even our best works are still subpar in reference to what we owe and are obligated to give God. And even further than that, since we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, with the totality of our being, we never fully accomplish that because the totality of our being is not capable of that, since sin still abides in every part to various degrees. So this question is really a gut check for us to have us look at our life and recognize that as far as we've come, as far as God has brought us, as hard as we strive, as hard as we work, and we do strive and we do work, those things are still only impartial. And that should drive us to a life of repentance. That should drive us to what question 76 says here, where we propose and endeavor to constantly walk in ways of new obedience. Even though we will fail, we should still strive to do that because we are not yet there, because we have not yet achieved perfection. We have not finished the race, as Paul talks about in Philippians. We still have to strive. We still have to walk. And so even though we affirm that we are justified and adopted in a moment in time, that we are renewed and being renewed in the whole man after the image of God, we still have to strive and work. We still have to walk on the road of good works, which God has given to us and has prepared beforehand for us to walk in. We still have to make that effort, because even our best works, even when we feel like we have a great day, we still are offering imperfect and defiled works in the sight of God. Do you know if you want you could notice the catechism? Hey, the catechism. Hey, do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want you could notice? West Side.